For the past 4 weeks, we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10 and reading through verse 18, and talking about spiritual warfare. Today is the final message in this brief series. When I began 4 weeks ago, I talked to you about three things. I said, first and foremost, most of us are not keenly aware that we are involved in a spiritual battle. We seem to forget that there is a battle that is constantly and fervently going on. It's because we live in an invisible world as well as a visible world. There are the people around us, the pews that you're sitting on, the platform before you, the building that you're in. This is all physical. This is all visible. We see it. We feel it. We touch it. We know it exists. And yet in this room, there are angels and there are demons. In this room, there are the powerful forces of the enemy that conflict and come against the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But few are aware of the keen battle that we face and that we fight in on a day-by-day basis. Even those of us who may be aware are untrained and unprepared to face such a battle. We are soldiers without weapons. We are soldiers without armor. We must learn how to prepare to fight the good fight of faith. I want to remind you that there are three powerful presences, three powerful weapons that always accompany the child of God. There is the inspired Word of God. This is God-breathed. Everything it says is true, and everything it promises will come to pass. This is the Word of God, eternal, significant in nature, all inspired. We have this Word as a weapon against the enemy. We have not only the inspired Word, we have the indwelling Spirit. The very moment you came to know Christ as your personal Savior, the Spirit of the living God moved in and dwells within you. So that we always say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we have the interceding Savior. While we gathered this morning to sing and to listen to the Word of God proclaimed, the Spirit of God and the Son of God are interceding for the child of God. Jesus is praying for you right now. He knows your name. He knows your need. He's praying for you right now. And with those offensive weapons, we are to stand firm and fight the good fight of faith. Listen to the Word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let's spend a moment in prayer. Father, thank you for the passage before us, the promises that it gives to us, the power that accompanies the Word of God. And now as I stand to confront the enemy, may the power of the cross overwhelm us all. May we know we are in your presence, and would you give us victory this morning over every stronghold and in every circumstance through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Let me give you three words and then just spend a moment kind of unpacking those words. The first word is difference, the difference. The second word is going to be difficulty. And then the final word will be delivery. What about the difference? I want to tell you something this morning so that you can know where you stand. That's how the scripture opens. Stand firm, stand on the word of God. In the evil day, stand. So how do you know where you are standing? Let me tell you the difference. A Christian cannot be possessed by Satan. An unbeliever can. A Christian may be impacted, he may be influenced, he may be enticed, but he cannot be possessed, because in a Christian the Holy Spirit resides, and the Spirit of the living God is by far more powerful than the evil forces that live in and around us. The unbeliever can be possessed. So if you've never trusted Christ this morning, that's not to say that you're surely possessed of the devil, but it is to say be aware that you could be, that you can be. Satan is a roaring lion moving about, ready to devour any and all that he can. Christian, be aware of the fact that you can be enticed, you can be impacted, you can be influenced. You can't be possessed, but Satan can come against you and destroy you in the physical, in the mental, and in the emotional if you're not very, very careful. That's the difference. Let me tell you what the difficulty is. When it comes to preaching about Satan, when it comes to teaching about him, and certainly when it comes to dealing with him, there is grave difficulty. For on the one hand, there is the extremism of fanaticism. There's a demon under every rock and sitting in every pew, and oh me, oh my, what are we going to do? Extreme fanaticism, where everybody under every circumstance sees a devil in everything. Flip Wilson got us started with that theology, "The devil made me do it." On the other end, there is unbelief. Why, it's just life, and it's just the pursuit of happiness, and we just go about, and some things happen, and we can't start it, we can't stop it, we can't do anything about it. We don't really believe there's an evil force. It's just the way things are. Somewhere between no belief and fanaticism is the truth of the Word of God. There is not a demon under every rock and sitting in every pew. But because I have said that, do not mistake the fact that the devil is not here in attendance this morning. He's very much here. He roams in and out of the building. He speaks to your heart with doubt and lies and fears. He's your enemy. And if you're a child of God, he wants nothing more than to hinder you and hurt you and harm you as you pursue the gospel and as you walk in faith and in obedience before the Lord. So there is quite the difficulty, because there is this lack of understanding. There is also a lack of knowing doctrinal truths. You see, if you don't understand the sovereignty of God, you will give more space, more time, and more credit to the devil than as due. You need to know God is in control. And before you say, "The devil made me do it," you need to be comforted. Nothing can touch you that does not come through a nail-scarred hand. You're a child of the living God. He has your best interest in mind. You do not have to fall prey to the evil one. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that loved you. And you need to be comforted by that. You need to be challenged by that. Get up and quit thinking in terms of pity and start thinking in terms of praise. You have a God who is able. And if you say able to do what, I'll say able to do whatever. He's just a God who is able. And so we have an improper understanding of sovereignty, which leads to an improper understanding of security. If God is sovereign, He is, and in full control, He is, then you in Christ are secure. You're not holding on and hoping. He is holding on and knowing that He's going to conform you to the image of His Son. And so that's the difficulty. We're dealing with people who, on one extreme or the other, fail to understand the truths of the Word of God. And then finally, and I'll spend a moment here, the deliverance. I would tell you that I had 10 quick thoughts to share with you, but some of you would get up and leave now, so I'll just keep that to myself. Number one, know where you stand. Three times in the passage, it talks about standing and standing firm. Know where you stand. Are you a Christian? Are you? Have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you've been born of the Spirit of the living God and that Jesus lives inside of you? Know where you stand, because if you don't know where you're standing, you are a target of the enemy. If you don't know where you're standing, if one day feels good and the next day feels bad, you are his, Satan's, target. He will target your mind with lies. He will target your body with suffering. He will target your heart with pride. He will target you with all kinds of issues and inferences. If you don't know where you stand, on Christ the solid rock I stand, because all of the ground is sinking sand. Number two, confess all known sin. Listen, when you fail to confess sin, you open the door for satanic impact and influence in your life. You're a child of God. He cannot possess you. But I will tell you, He will torment you. He will terrify you if you leave an open door of unconfessed sin in your life. What should I confess? How should I confess it? When should I confess it? You should confess every sin. You should confess it immediately, and you could confess it consistently. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number three, renounce the works of the devil. Ask the Lord to tear down, rip out every stronghold that is in your life. Some of you that come here often have heard me talk about Vance Havner through the years, an old preacher that died a number of years ago that was a sage. He was a prophet in his own time. He used to tell something that I thought was quite humorous but very relevant. He said in a certain revival meeting, this older gentleman would stand up every time he gave his testimony and say, "Oh God, the spider of sin has built cobwebs of sin in my life. Oh, God, tear down the cobwebs." One lady in the church had heard that testimony repeatedly. And so this time when he stood up and said, "Oh, God, the spider of sin has built cobwebs of sin in my life. Tear down the cobwebs." She jumped up and said, "And oh, God, kill the spider too." And that is exactly what needs to happen in my life and yours. Don't keep confessing the same old. Let God tear out the stronghold. Let Him pull down the spider. Let Him break the generational chain. Let every bad thing be thrown at the foot of the cross, and let Jesus be true and all other things liars. And if we will tear down those strongholds by the power of God, Satan will understand he is not welcome here. Number four, destroy occult objects. Wait, Pastor, I don't think that's going to touch many folks because that's not any of us. Well, let's see. How do you spend your money? Show me how you spend your money, and I'll tell you whether there's idolatry in your life. What entertains you? Tell me the music you listen to, the television programs you watch, and the movies you go to, and I'll tell you whether there's any idolatry in your life. How do you spend your energy, your strength? Tell me what your vocation and vacations are all about, where you like to go, and what you like to do. And I'll tell you whether there's idolatry in your life. And now, back up just a little bit and stop saying, not me, because at times every one of us allow things in our lives that do not belong. Ask God to tell you what those are. Ask Him to reveal them to you. And then by the grace of God, get rid of them. And if you will, you'll begin to feel the freedom to worship in spirit and in truth. Number five, break from unholy friendships and relationships. Now listen to me. I didn't say don't get around unbelievers. I didn't say that. Here's what I am saying. When you are with an unbeliever, if you can dominate the attitude and lifestyle, more power to you. But if being around an unbeliever drags you down into their lifestyle, if it makes you less of a godly Christian person than you ought to be, if being with them perverts the gospel in your own life, then you must run, not walk, run from those kinds of relationships until you've spent enough time in your prayer closet and in your Bible study that you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and go back into that relationship with the good news of the gospel and nothing less. Number six, I like this one, rest in Christ alone. Renew your mind to the point that you can completely and totally rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Do you know what you need to know this morning? You can't defeat the devil, but you don't have to. The moment Jesus cried, "Tetelestai," it is finished, and they buried him, and he broke open the grave and came alive forevermore, Satan was defeated. You don't have to beat him. He's beaten. You don't have to win over him. He's already been defeated by the cross and the empty tomb. And if you know that, then rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You can lay your head down that every night. You can sleep tight and not let one idea or attitude enter your mind that robs you of the joy of the Lord if you're certain that victory is in Jesus Christ the Lord. Number seven, in the power of Christ, resist the devil. I wish I had more time, but I will tell you this. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus faces Satan and is tempted in all points, just like we've been tempted, in other words, everything that's ever bothered you bothered him, everything that's ever troubled you troubled him, in that area, when Satan tempted him, you're hungry, turn stones to bread, jump off the pinnacle and let everybody see you float down, they'll believe you're God. Bow down before me and I'll give you all that you're looking at. When he was tempted in all points like we've been tempted, he picked up his Bible. I know it hadn't been printed yet, but it was in his heart. He began to quote scripture to Satan. And as he quoted scripture to Satan, man can't live by bread alone. You can't tempt the Lord your God. You're trying to offer me all this, all that's mine. I made it. I created it. As you begin to live by what God's word says, you will discover that that is the only way. That's not one of the ways. It's the only way you can resist the devil. You say, well, I've got another way. Sometimes I just make up my mind. Really? And how's that been working out for you? Well, sometimes the only offensive weapon you are offered in the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And when Satan comes against you, the only weapon you have is, thus saith the Lord. He could care less about your opinion, your idea, your strength, your power. But you just let the gospel begin to speak. You let the word begin to sound forth. And Satan is set to defeat and on the run. Number 8, intensify your prayer life. I could spend the rest of the morning next week and the next week after just talking about the need that we have to be intimate with God so that God will be intimate with us. We need to live close to Him. The further from the fire you get, the colder you are. And if you'll warm your hands by the Lord's fire, if you'll grow close to Him in prayer, then the coldness of the world will not impact you as it would otherwise. Ask for the filling of the Spirit. Well, I've already done that. Do it again. And then do it again. And then do it again. You know why? Because you leak. There's a hole in the bucket. You can be full of the Spirit. Now, I want to tell you, there are people in this world that'll suck the Spirit right out of you. There are circumstances in the world that'll steal the joy of the Lord. You got to be full of the Spirit. And then you got to be full of the Spirit. And then you still got to be full of the Spirit. I mean, you buy an automobile and you take it to the service station and you put gasoline in it. And you've got a sense enough to know that when you've driven it a little bit and you've worked it a little bit, you need to fill it back up again. Don't you get that? That's the spiritual life that we're living. As you move through this world, reading your Bible, ministering to people, hospital visits, praying over somebody, raising up children, doing whatever you've got to do, you've got to be filled up again and again and again. And as you say, oh Lord, this morning, fill me to the fullest with the Holy Spirit, you will determine that when the Spirit of God is in you, directs you, guides you, and moves you, you will be walking on holy ground. And that's the only way he can be defeated. And then finally, and I've got 5 minutes left, put on the whole armor of God. See, that's where we started. So let me tell you how that works. When you swing your legs off the bed, about ready to stand up in the morning, here's how it works. Lord, I've got to face another day. I could encounter some really tough things today. I could encounter some difficult situations today. I could get thrown into some circumstances today that are mind-boggling. So, I want to put on the helmet of salvation. I want to have the perspective of heaven. I want to think like Jesus. I want to approach everything that happens today like Christ would approach it. Let me have the helmet of salvation. Lord, I want to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I've got a feeling that today, if not today, it's surely tomorrow, the devil will aim dozens of fiery darts in my direction. Doubt will come, fear will come. Pain will come, problems will come, issues will come, circumstances will come. Somebody will criticize me. Somebody will offend me. Something will happen. I want to put on the breastplate of righteousness. When those fiery darts are thrown in my direction, I want them to be thrown at a man who's standing firm in the good news of the gospel. Lord, let me put on the shoes of the gospel. I want to walk where you would walk. I want to walk how you would walk. I want my attitude and my actions to reflect that I've been to Calvary. Put on the shoes of the gospel. And Lord, I'm going to pick up the shield of faith. And I want to walk by faith today. I don't have to see it to believe it. I don't have to know what's next to do what's right. I'm going to live in the light of the truth that I already know with the shield of the gospel. And I said, and Lord, I've got a good grip. I got a good grip on the Word of God. I'm not holding on. I've got a good grip on the Word of God. And I'm going to need to use it. But don't let me use it to thump people over the head and tell them how bad they are. Are you listening? Help me to use it to tell them how good you are. Don't let me use it to be an offensive Christian. Let me use it to offend the devil and defend the gospel. So, Lord, when I get on this armor, I'll be a soldier ready to do battle that I full well know exists all around me. I will be aware, I will be trained, and I will be prepared to stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Let's stand together. In a moment, pastors will be here in the altar and we'll sing a song of invitation. If you don't know where you stand, if you're not certain Christ is your Savior, I'd ask you to come forward today and allow us to help you in that manner. If you've been saved but you've never followed Him in baptism, why not make a public profession of faith today? If this morning your membership is elsewhere, but this is the place where you worship and this is the place where you've been attending, why not become a part of us so that together we can fight the good fight of faith? And listen, if you know there's a stronghold in your life, if you know that old spider has built that web again and again and again, it's good to confess the web. It's better to kill the spider. So come this morning and let the Lord's Spirit rip from you that stronghold, that treasure box that's holding the wealth of the world instead of the treasures of God. Come and let that stronghold be torn down. Pastors will pray with you. They'll help you any way they possibly can. So come on, guys, and stand here in the altar. And Daryl, you lead us in this song of invitation.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold.